Let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." How many of you know this verse is talking about the end times? Because he said the end of all things is at hand. Well, you say, well, that was 2,000 years ago he wrote that. But how many of you know with God 1,000 years is as one day and days as 1,000 years? So it's even more at hand now. When the Lord called me to the ministry back whenever I was a young boy, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Go tell my people I'm coming soon." And then he said, "Tell them to get ready." Well, then why on earth is he calling people into the ministry in this day and hour? I'm not the only one. There's many. Just a friend of mine the other day was saying the same thing. God spoke to him, minister friend. But if it's not closer now, why is he having people raised up, you know, to talk about the end times?
Yes,
say it's coming. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Because our ministry is connected to the return of Christ. Amen. And so we understand that that's why God connected us with Brother. One of the reasons God connected us with Brother Hagin's ministry. His ministry was to prepare the people of God for this last great move, which would usher in the return of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. James says that in the last days that he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. The rain's the type of outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So God is wanting us to cooperate with him concerning these end times. He raised up Brother Hagin with a message to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. And that move of the Spirit is what gets the harvest ready and brings the harvest in, which is what he's waiting for. It'd be better for you and I if we just got out of here right now. But see, there's some other people it's not that good for him to come back yet. Let's get them in on as much of it. Get them in on the harvest as much as we are in on the harvest. So he's very merciful and very long-suffering, and he's not waiting for Russia to attack Israel. He's not waiting for other things. He's waiting for the harvest. Amen. And so Brother Hagin was called to do that, and to prepare the body of Christ for that move and then the return of the Lord. But really, anyone who's hooked up with his ministry is a part of that movement and that end-time preparation. That was the assignment on that ministry. And it didn't go to heaven with Brother Hagin. The Lord is still coming back. And we still got work to do down here. So we've got some things here that he tells us to do because of the return of the Lord. The end of all things is at hand. You can look at that a couple ways. The end of the church age could be part of that, although that's not all things. But the end of the church age is upon us. The end of man's lease on the earth is upon us. I mean, I don't know how much longer it is, but it's not much longer. If you know anything about Bible prophecy and, you know, so forth and so on, creation was a type of the future history that was coming after creation. And we're at that seventh day now. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. So, but that'll be the end of the lease. Anyway, but that's all free. The point I'm making is, at that time, God will do some things a little different. But right up until the end of that lease, he needs us to cooperate with him to get the work done down here because he gave the lease to man. And what's he say man's supposed to be doing? Well, the world doesn't really care about what he's doing, doesn't care about cooperating with him, but the church. What are we supposed to be doing? The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Can you see that? So be sober. What does it mean, be sober? Anybody that's drunk is the opposite of sober. If somebody's intoxicated, they're not seeing clearly. They're not thinking clearly. And to be honest with you, they're doing some things they ought not be doing. And they're not doing other things they should be doing. If somebody's under the influence of alcohol, there's people's business they're getting into they should not be in. They're getting their hands in places in ways they shouldn't be getting their hands in. They're under the influence.
Yes.
They're not sober. So they're not doing some things they should be doing. And they're doing some things they should not be doing, saying some things they should not be saying. Isn't that right? Anybody want to fess up and say, that's the way it was? That God was is the operative word there. Amen. People under the influence, people that are drunk or intoxicated, they're making mistakes. They're making wrong choices. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Doing the wrong thing. And he's saying, since it's the end of all things, be sober. In other words, here's what you need to be doing since it's close to the end. What does sober mean? Be doing the right thing. And so, in other words, if a person's intoxicated, their mindset's not right. Their thoughts aren't right. Their thoughts are going in places they shouldn't be going. Their words are going in places they shouldn't be going. Their actions are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And they're just under the influence of something else. Well, we know we are not to be drunk on alcohol or be drinking alcohol, and that's part of what this could mean. But he's not just limiting this to that. Amen. Other translations say, be sober-minded, and it keeps bringing up the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. A person who's drunk is not sober, and their mind's in the wrong place. And so he's telling us, and then the other translations will bring up the word discipline. So he's telling us there's certain, as a result of the time it is. Anybody know what time it is? No, it's not 7:16. It is the time of the Lord's returns. What time it is? As a result of what time it is, we're to be wide awake. We're to be doing the right thing, and there's certain things we're not doing. We're not to be doing. And he's not just talking about alcohol. You understand what he's talking about here? He's talking about being serious and understanding the time we live in and what we're supposed to be doing because of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because we're going to have to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Understand what time it is and what we are to be about doing, what we're to be busy with. Isn't that right? We're not to be caught up with the spirit of the world. Amen. We're not to be entrenched and engulfed in natural affairs. You and I have a natural life, don't we? There's a natural side. There's things in the natural we got to do. But and so he's not saying don't do anything in the natural. He's simply saying you can't be all caught up, especially the closer you are to the end and the return of Jesus. You can't be really all caught up and engulfed in, to be honest with you, just flat entrenched and your whole mind and attention and mindset and everything is on natural things. You understand? He's saying the closer you get to the return of Jesus, the end of all things, the more you're going to have to tune out the things of the world. Are you with me? And so that's what you and I ought to be doing. And the other translations talk about, disciplined. It uses the word discipline, and it talks about a mindset. So he's telling us there's certain disciplines and certain mindsets that we're to exercise the closer we get to the return of Jesus. That lend itself to a life of prayer. We're going to have to make some switches. We're going to have to make some adjustments. Our lifestyle is going to have to be changed. The further we go towards this, the closer we get to the move of the fullness of the move of the Spirit, the more we come into this move of the Spirit, the more we're going to have to be doing exactly what we're coming together to do right now. I said we're going to have to do this more, not less. Tell your neighbor, more, not less.
Amen.
Amen. There's some things we ought to be doing. He's referring to not being distracted by this modern life.
Yeah.
And this particularly applies to this generation because it has more distractions than any generation in history. Amen. So we're to be sober and watch. For what purpose? Prayer. For the purpose of prayer. Amen. That's His plan for us to fulfill in these last days. He's got a plan. He's got things He needs to do, and He's got things He needs us to cooperate with Him and so that He can do these things. And prayer is what He said He needs for us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so if we're not praying, it's because we're not sober about what time it is. If our habit, lifestyle is just a few minutes, you know, just got to go, Lord. And get home, got to get to bed, Lord, and got to go, Lord, in the morning. And just, you know, it's going to have to change, is what He's saying.
Yes.
Be honest for what He wants to do. He's telling us we're going to have to make some adjustments. And I'll tell you that some things I've had in my heart about prayer for the whole church have been there for a while. And I kept looking at the schedule and saying, I just don't want to take people's time. And finally, the Lord dealt with me. Cut some other things out.
Amen.
And it was strong. Amen. This is becoming more and more important than it ever has been. Than any social events, church groups getting together. This is becoming more and more and more important. Everybody still glad you came tonight? So why? Because we're aware of what time it is. It's getting serious. Amen. So, hallelujah. We do have a natural side to life, don't we?
Yes, sir.
But He's not talking about not having a natural life. He's saying don't be intoxicated with it. Amen. I mean, I'm making some changes in my life, and I'm asking you to examine your life. You know, just see what God would say to you. I'm not saying what that is. That might be something that you've already got some adjustments made. But whatever He's talking to you about, cut some things out that are distracting you from this prayer life. Amen? Now, so really, for the Lord to be even, to tell even His people to be ready for His coming means that just because we're born again doesn't mean we're ready. You can be born again and your lifestyle is not ready to meet the Lord. Now, these verses aren't saying when it says to be ready, and there's many verses. Matthew, if you just want to write some down. I mean, Matthew and a couple of the Gospels, they record Jesus' statements on His return. Remember the parable of the wise virgins and the unwise virgins, and so many of these parables, so many of these stories, so many things Jesus would say, I'm coming back. You don't know when the hour the Son of Man's coming. I'm coming, but He said, watch therefore and pray always that you be ready to stand before the Son of Man. You can just write down Matthew 24, 42 through 44, and you can see that. And there's many other passages, Luke 21, 36 and 37, 38 down and through there. There's so many passages. He's basically saying, I'm coming back. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Amen. And so He talks to His people and says that. So being born again doesn't equal watching and praying. And these verses aren't saying that to not be ready equals not going in the rapture. You understand what He's saying here when He says, be ready, watch and pray, or you won't be ready to stand before the Son of Man. He's not saying that if you're born again, but you're not watching and praying, you won't stand before the Son of Man. He's saying, in other words, you won't go. He's not saying you won't go, but He's simply saying you'll go, but you'll wish you had done some things different, or you wish you hadn't have done certain things, that you got to stand here now and give an account. Because reckoning day has arrived. So it'd be best just to live ready. We're not talking about standing before Him. Well, 1 John 2:28 is one of the best verses. I want you to turn to it because whenever you get to heaven, I want Jesus to be able to say, Pastor showed you that verse. 1 John 2:28. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say inside, just make that little flip that little switch on the inside and say, I'm so glad I came tonight. Ooh, I'm so glad I came tonight. 1 John 2:28. We look at verse 27 a lot. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, oh, he's coming, that when he shall appear, what? We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So at his coming, there are two ways you can stand before him. You can stand before him either confidently, or you can stand before him ashamed. He didn't say you wouldn't stand before him. He said, there's one of two ways all of us are going to stand before him. Think of your life right now. Would you want to stand before him right now? Boy, that was quiet. I think we better camp on this for a while here. Now, I don't mean, you know, you don't have more things in your heart to do, but I mean, have you been doing what he's been saying, and have you been cutting out what he's been saying? Cut out. Because all of us are going to have things that we wanted to, that we were shooting in faith for and getting to, because we knew the Lord wants us to eventually get to that. But, you know, he might come before we get it all finished, but that doesn't mean that we are disobeying him right now.
Right.
That makes sense. So I didn't want you to be confused about that. But so he's telling us right here to be sober and watch. What's the purpose for prayer? Because these last days need it to be fulfilled. You can see in the Bible, like, for example, in Jesus, for example, here's one. Jesus said to the disciples, "Tarry." He said, I'm going to leave. He said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high.
Yes.
Because you're to be witnesses in all these places, Jerusalem, Judea, and so forth. And so notice that's basically a prophecy. Jesus said, you're going to be, go up there in the upper room and tarry until you be endued with power. He's telling them that the Holy Ghost is going to fall.
That's right.
They're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's prophesying that. Oh, well, so Jesus prophesied it's going to come to pass. It's automatic. We just twiddle our thumbs and we go up there and play pool and watch TV and just, no. Things that are prophesied are not always automatic. Prophecies or things that are spoken by the Spirit of God need prayer to be fulfilled. Now, Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem, so forth. What did they do? They went up in the upper room, and Acts 1:14 says, they continued steadfastly and with one accord in prayer.
Yes.
See, they weren't just saying, well, God said it'll be automatic, twiddle their thumbs, and it doesn't come to pass automatic. The Bible talks about the latter rain in James chapter number 5 and other places. That's not automatic. It's not going to happen on our watch. Or in our generation, if we're not a generation of prayer. We can hasten the return of the Lord. We can slow it down. Speed it up. If you don't believe it, you can just mark this down. 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Looking for and hasting. You look up that word hasting. In fact, you look at many other translations, it'll say speeding along. Speeding it up. Speeding it along. The return of Jesus is not a set date in the mind of God that is going to be fulfilled whether we're ready or not. It is not a date. It is something that has to be done. And that could take a long time, or we could get it done in our generation, either depending on our response to prayer, to him in prayer. The harvest needs the rain, and the rain needs prayer. The end time prophecies, all that God wants to do, needs the outpouring and move of the Spirit, and that outpouring of the move of the Spirit needs prayer to bring it to pass. Just like on the day of Pentecost, he said, tarry in Jerusalem, but they didn't go up there and just say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. We'll see if this all happens. No, they set themselves to prayer. And it wasn't the kind of prayer where you just fellowship with God and make confessions of faith. This is earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. I'll give you another example. Remember Elijah in the Old Testament. In fact, James 5 refers to this. In the context of that verse, heartfelt, continued prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. The Amplified says dynamic in its working. The context of that is Elijah and his prayer life. He said Elijah was a man subject like passions like as we are. He didn't say Elijah was a prophet, and since you're not a prophet, you can't do this. He said Elijah was a man, and not just a man who deals with stuff like you do. Who failed like you have, and I have. Elijah failed. He had a pity party at one point. He ran from Jezebel one point. He prayed to die at one point. He didn't want to live it anymore at one point. Anybody feeling better about your prayer life already? Well, how could I be successful and fruitful in prayer? All these things I've gone through. Elijah went through it all himself. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed.
And
that the heavens would not give rain, and it rained not on the space of the earth on 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. Now, we have record of the rain, of him praying that the heavens give rain, but we don't have, in the Old Testament, but we don't have record of it, of him praying that the heavens would stop giving rain. In the Old Testament, James said he did pray both times. So we know by revelation of James that he did pray both times. In other words, both times God gave him a word, a prophecy, and said, here's my will. Go tell Ahab it's not going to rain. But he didn't just go up and tell Ahab it's not going to rain and then just say, well, God said it. Let's all put it. Let's post it on Facebook and we can all make our confession. Okay, everybody get in agreement with me. God said it's not going to rain. And so get in agreement with me and make these confessions. Here's this list of confessions. It wasn't that at all. It was a travail kind of prayer. We have record of him praying when it came to not raining.
That's right.
And it tells us how he prayed. Yes. He got in a birthing position.
Yes,
and he kept telling his servant, go see if there's a little cloud. Yes. It wasn't a prayer of faith, make our confessions and go to bed. Somebody said, are you preaching against that? No, there's a place for that.
Yes,
but sometimes in your spirit, you know that's not going to cut it.
Amen.
No, he travailed. He prayed. He actually birthed that thing out. Like Paul said, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. Or actually said, I travail again in birth. He travailed to get him into the kingdom of God. And then he travailed in prayer and persevered. It was a continued heartfelt prayer so that it would come to pass. Daniel did the same thing whenever he read in the book of Jeremiah that 70 years was prophesied about Israel's Babylonian captivity. He was in that time, but it wasn't coming to pass. What'd he do? He set himself to fasting and prayer. Not confessions of faith. Not just say, I'm just going to claim this, what the word of the Lord is. No, he prayed earnestly for 21 days. Here's another case, 12th chapter of the book of Acts. These are all the Lord's talking to me about. 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Peter, or James, was killed. Herod took James and killed him. And he saw that it pleased the Jews. In other words, the Jews liked that. So he said, I'm going to take Peter too. So he took Peter. And the Bible says, put him in prison, intending to bring him out the next day. And really, he was going to kill him too. But the Bible says that Peter, but it said Peter was resting between the soldiers. But prayer. Chapter 12, you find it there? What verse is that? Verses 1 starts around verse 1 and goes on down through verse 5. But prayer. But prayer. We don't have any record of them praying about James. Is it possible that we could lose spiritual leaders because of prayerlessness? Due to rogue government officials. Because of their place of authority, they decided to rise up against the church.
Come on.
You know, just a few years ago, you would have thought that almost impossible in America. But today, You look at what's happening.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
What are we going to do about it? Make confessions, get angry, argue with other people about the terrible government.
But prayer.
Notice it didn't say, how does it say it there? But they continued. Prayer was made without ceasing. Unto God for him. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Without ceasing. That's not the prayer of faith. Am I preaching against the prayer of faith?
No.
It has its place in the right setting. But when it comes to other people's wills, when it comes to realms out beyond your authority, when it comes to, you know, in your spirit, there's other things that you don't know that need to be prayed, but that the Holy Ghost is saying you need to yield to the Holy Ghost in tongues because there's other things here you don't know about to pray about. And praying in other tongues enables you to pray about the unknown. See, I just gave you three reasons why the prayer of faith won't cut it sometimes. Other people's wills are involved. Number two, it's out beyond your realm of authority. And number three, because there are things that need to be prayed about that you don't even know. But if you're limited to your mind and say, I'm just going to make this confession of faith, there's going to be things that aren't prayed out.
That's right.
But the church continued in one accord in prayer. How does it say that? Prayer was made without ceasing. That's saying the same thing as continued. They didn't just, you know, make a little prayer, make a faith confession, and go to bed.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was nighttime. Peter's sleeping.
Yeah, he was.
It was nighttime.
Yeah.
They could have been in bed.
Yeah.
But they didn't go to bed.
Nope.
They stayed up.
Yeah.
They lost some sleep.
Thank you.
Because there's something inside that can't get released from it.
Come on now. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If they would have said, well, let's just pray the prayer of faith and make a good confession and go to bed, they'd have got a call in the morning, come get his body.
All right.
Somebody said, I wonder why that didn't work. Because there's more to this sometimes than just the prayer of faith.
That's right.
And making confessions of faith.
Absolutely.
Now, you might think if this is the only sermon you heard, you think I'm preaching against confessions of faith. How many of you just 2 weeks ago, I preached strong on confessions of faith. But we got to realize, word of faith people need to realize there's more than just making confessions of faith.
Amen.
So here, they went beyond just making confessions of faith. Are you still with me? Or are you mad at me now? The Lord said to me, some people won't receive what you're saying, but you have to say it anyway. There's a lot of people wondering why things aren't working. It's because all they've heard is the message of faith. God spoke to me years ago and said, you're going to have to bring along all that those old time Pentecostals understood about praying things through. Modern day church doesn't know anything about praying things through. In fact, you don't hear many people anymore travailing in prayer. You don't hear many people with earnest, heartfelt crying out to God. But that's what it's going to take. I'll just be flat honest with you. Without it, this generation will not see the rain. Will not see it. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to learn this. What are we going to do? We're going to seeing the time. Seeing how late it is, seeing the hour, we're going to have to change our lifestyle. Look at your neighbor and say, he said we. He's not just preaching at you. He's talking about himself too. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God anyhow. Somebody say, it's all good. Thank God I came to church tonight. Amen. Praise God. So Elijah didn't just prophesy, he prayed. He processed the prophecy with prayer. Amen. Prophecies need backed up by prayer. I just gave you four examples in the Bible. Jesus prophesying about the Holy Ghost falling. Isn't that right? Here's Peter, praying for Peter. And how many of you know that what happened as a result of them praying? And then I gave you, you know, the Old Testament, Daniel. And then I gave you Elijah. Yes, those are examples. See, that's not just my idea. That's Bible examples.
Yes,
so what happened as a result of them praying for Peter? I'll tell you what happened. An angel showed up in the jail, in the prison house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Remember, he smote him on the side and said, get up.
Yeah.
Woke him up.
Yeah.
He thought he was seeing a vision. Remember that?
Yeah.
And put on your clothes. Put on your sandals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Follow me, he said.
Yeah.
So he walked right past. Was it four different sets of four soldiers guarding that prison house? And a prison door that's shut, locked, it opens. They go through four sets of four guards. Either they were blinded looking right at him and didn't even see him. Or else God put them to sleep or something.
Right, yes, sir.
Walked past four of them, and then the iron gate that went around the whole prison compound opened of its own accord. The angel took him out one street. In other words, just get him out of eyesight. Took him out one street and disappeared. He looked around and it's like, man, this isn't a vision. There's a house and you know, this is real here.
Yeah.
So he went to where they were praying.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and then he remembered he knocked and they thought, well, it's just his angel. It can't be that Peter's out, you know. But see, they were still praying.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Still praying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Still praying.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What happened as a result of this kind of praying? Tremendous power was made available. What did it produce? It produced two gifts of the Spirit. It produced a discerning of spirits. Peter saw the angel. He felt the angel hit him. That's discerning of spirits. It produced, second of all, the working of miracles. Now, that's manifested in several different ways. The chains fell off. Because he's chained. Bible said he had both hands. I first thought it was legs. I looked. It was both arms, both wrists had chains around them.
Yeah.
They just fell off. Just fell off.
Yeah.
Just fell off.
Yeah.
And the angel got him up, said, follow me. And the doors open. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
They didn't see him. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
The gate outside opened. That's a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they prayed all that out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
They prayed out miracles.
Yes.
They made tremendous power available to that situation.
Yes.
Come on now.
Man, oh man. I don't know about you, but this was not the prayer of faith. You need to realize this is that earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you getting it tonight? People don't understand this that I'm talking about. They just sort of think these things are automatic, but they're not. I said they're not. Remember what John Wesley said? Seems like God's limited by our prayer life that he can't do anything for someone unless somebody asks him. Remember that? Well, that's what we're here to learn to do. Isn't that right? And so, this is on my heart. God started talking to me about this last Wednesday night. And he's telling me these things, we've got the prayer of faith down pretty well. But supplication and intercession have got to be restored to the church. And learn to do it under the anointing. Are you with me? I said, learn to do it under the anointing. Amen. Because God said some things about the end times that we're living in.
Yeah.
And we keep wondering, why hasn't it come to pass? Anybody been looking for the rain more than we've had it? Well, some of you are thinking. So I believe that this is what the issue is. If James 5, 15, 16, 17, 16, 17, 18 are true, then the reason we're not seeing tremendous power made available is a lack of this kind of praying. But maybe we should tear that out of the Bible. Let's see here. So it doesn't seem to be working for us, so let's just tear that out right there. Let's just tear that out. I didn't tear my Bible. I tore my notes. But some of you went, now you're awake. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so this is King James says earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Remember James there. The heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Effectual, fervent prayer. Excuse me. So thank God for the word. These things have got to be restored to the church. Amen. We're in the time of their fulfillment. Daniel was in the time of the fulfillment of the 70-year Babylonian captivity. I mean, the ending of that. He's in that time. But there is not a thing happening. Huh? Isn't that right? What'd he do? He made supplication, it says. And he did it for 21 days. You can find that in Daniel chapter number 9. Amen. Hallelujah. Elijah prayed until the man came back and said, there's a little cloud. He didn't just pray and say, well, I prayed. No, he prayed until. The day of Pentecost, they prayed until. I mean, in that upper room, they prayed until. Jeremiah prophesied 70 years. Daniel prayed until. Amen. We don't see this kind of prayer anymore in the church. This kind of prayer, which is earnest, heartfelt, that even can move over into travail as the Spirit wills. We don't make these things up in the flesh. Amen. But this kind of praying has been lost in the body of Christ. Because of the teaching on faith, people think that's all there is to it. And that's not all that there is to it. Amen. There's things prophesied about the greater move of the Spirit. There's things prophesied about more manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Well, let's just sit back, twiddle our thumbs till it happens, huh? No. Amen. I said no. Tell your neighbor no. One reason these things that we have in our hearts, some of the things we've had in our hearts for ministry for a long time, just don't seem to be able to quite get off the ground, is because there's not enough impetus of the Spirit behind them, pushing them. Because of a lack of this kind of praying. Why? Busy, busy, busy. Then you think I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. I have been convicted up one side, down the other ever since the last few months. God's been dealing with me and showing me what it's going to take, the adjustments in my lifestyle it's going to take.
Amen.
And if I need it, you need it. Well, but I'm too busy. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You remember 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7? Time's getting close. Here's what to do. Don't be caught up with all the natural things of this world. Be sober. In other words, don't be drunk on natural affairs. Drunk on the spirit of this world. And here's what it's going to take. It's going to take tuning out a bunch of other voices. Somebody said, what you been doing? I haven't heard you say much since the election. Since the inauguration, I should say. I've been tuning out every other voice.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
News media, preachers, prophets, everybody. Been listening to God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Last Wednesday morning, 7:30, he woke me up and finally started talking to me. That's how long it took me from the inauguration to that. It took me about a week just to get all those voices quiet. He woke me up and started talking to me. He talked to me from 7:30 to 12:45. And I couldn't preach out what he shared with me in 10 services. But, amen. A lot of it has convicted me tremendously. So I'm processing it myself, putting it into my life. Tell your neighbor it's all good for him and you and all of us. How you go to bed at night is important. How you get up in the morning is important. Amen. And some of these things that just seem to keep getting stalled out. It's the plan of God, and even maybe even you start seeing them, yet they don't really fully manifest. They keep getting stalled out. It's because of a lack of this kind of prayer. Prayer makes tremendous power available, the Amplified says. But you could say it this way, that what that power does is it gets behind these things and starts pushing them along. In other words, it gives them impetus. Are you with me? And so they sort of lose that impetus and they sort of sputter out. There's some things I've had in my heart for 3 years to do here and in our lives in ministry. And I come up to it and it just keeps stopping it. Something keeps stopping it. And the Lord dealt with me in that time of prayer. This is the reason why.
All right.
He said, you and everybody connected with your ministry should be focusing on some of these things.
All right.
I mean, I've just been getting beat up. I mean, just all over. Just feel like I'm hurting all day long. So I'm passing it on so we can all be in one accord. Well, I thought we were going to shout and run and dance. Hey, we get the power falling, we'll get to shouting and running and dancing. You wait till wheelchair people are jumping out of wheelchairs and... Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm not saying confessions of faith aren't important and don't have their place. You understand that. I'm just simply saying that there's further unction sometimes if you look down in here that lets you know there's further that needs to be prayed out. Something further needs to be prayed out. Amen. And so a lot of times it comes out in yearnings and groanings and birthing travail of the Spirit as the Spirit wills. Like I said, we don't make these things up, but they're something that if we'll yield to the Spirit, we'll pray these things through. Amen?
Amen.
So you pay attention on the inside. Sometimes you know there's more. Making your confessions of faith and so forth, you'll know there's more. There's more. Something else down in here. Amen. Hallelujah. So we'll have to follow these promptings. And the Lord dealt with me. He said, you can't deal with some of these spiritual forces and spiritual beings who oppose the plan of God without the anointing. And the Word of Faith camp no longer goes very far into the Spirit. This is the Lord talking. This isn't Pastor Jay right now. They no longer go very deeply into the Spirit because they think that they can just do everything by faith or through the prayer of faith alone. Or they pray prayers of the Word out of their minds. They seek the blessing of the deeper realm without much going there. Some will be tempted to not believe what you're saying, and I'm telling you to say, and will not accept it because they don't understand. He said, but tell them, don't throw this out because what the Lord is saying to them just because they don't understand. Well, I've prayed just as much as I know. I know. I have too. But the Lord's dealing with me. You're going to have to go further. You've been praying on this level. You're going to have to go further. You're going to have to pray some things through. Some of these things require a manifestation of the Spirit to get them on through, because they're really just out beyond the realm of your authority, or just out in where other people's wills can keep it from coming to pass. So you're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And go further where these gifts of the Spirit start manifesting in this prayer time. When they prayed in Acts 12, a gift of the Spirit working of miracles came into manifestation. They themselves didn't even know it, but they heard about it. I mean, it wasn't long they heard the report. Hallelujah. That's the kind of thing we're going to have to learn to pray out. I said we're going to have to learn how to pray that out. Amen. So, as God said to me in times past, you're going to have to make life in the Spirit a priority for your faith. So you'll get my perspective then on the natural realm. Amen. Then this deeper kind of prayer, this over into the realm of the Spirit kind of praying, continued, even travail, as the Spirit wills, in supplication and intercession, will also make tremendous power available in addition to your confession of faith. You understand the power, the confession of your faith makes power, keeps it working. But there's some things that's not enough. Now somebody said, explain all that. Well, I tried to give you three reasons. It's out beyond your realm of your authority sometimes. Sometimes other people's wills are involved. And sometimes there's other things to pray about which you don't know to pray about. And just making confessions of faith isn't cutting it. And you sense down in here, there's more to that. There's more to that. Anybody ever notice that? Because sometimes you'll say things and you know down in here there's more to that. And that's the Holy Ghost trying to get us over into these deeper realms of prayer. Because there's more that needs to be done. Whew, glory, this is going to get done. Tell your neighbor, if we have anything to do with it, it's going to get done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's as if this kind of praying greases the skids of God's plan. So that, so to speak, so that His will can move forward with greater ease. You know what greasing the skids is? You know, you got certain settings and docks and different loading docks, and sometimes they got these things. They got to push this load out there. You know, nowadays it's so much a forklift, but sometimes they used to just push them out on skids, and they grease. They put some kind of pig fat or something on those skids so that those skids are smoother and are, slimy, and they'll slide. Whatever you're pushing will slide a whole lot easier. It's as if prayer greases the skids. Pushes it forward. Lets it go forward with greater ease. Are you with me? And I'll tell you, to be real honest with you, you and I practice this, this properly, and there's so many things that we won't even have to work very hard in the flesh to bring it to pass. Rather than work it out, we'll just walk it out. Hallelujah. Rather than pushing it through, it'll almost start pushing us. If you've never experienced that, you ain't been very far yet in the Holy Ghost. I've had some of the greatest miracles that have happened here at Spirit of Faith Family Church have been you saw the miracle, but you didn't see what was behind it. There was a season where God dealt with me, praying the Holy Ghost a whole lot more here. There's something, I just knew there's something God wants to do. I didn't know all the time what I was praying about. But I'd pray that thing through and that unction would lift, and all of a sudden, bam, a miracle would hit. Well, if you ever tasted of that, you want to pray in tongues all the time.
Amen.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Get beyond just making your confessions of faith. Praying out in the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory be to God. So everybody that's interested, say amen.
Amen.
We've got to get this over to folks somehow or another. We're going to keep preaching it to Word of Faith people so that Word of Faith people can get a hold of this. Because there's more to removing the devil from the scene sometimes, and in some cases, than just making faith confessions or exercising authority without the anointing on you. In your own realm of your life, you don't have to have the anointing per se. You act on the Word. But when you're out beyond your realm of authority, into somebody else's life where their wills are involved, you're going to have the Holy Ghost on you. Remember that story I told you? I told you this story, and I want you to hear it again, because I'll just refer to it again at least, because there's so much truth in it, and if you just hear the story and don't catch the truth, you'll miss it. Remember that pastor that I said ran off, left his church that he pastored, and took a lady with him into sin, and just got off, a man that we knew, a minister that we knew, and me and some people that were that knew him and really had ministered with him, to be honest with you, started praying for him. But, just praying, Father, open the eyes of his understanding kind of thing. And not a lot of, real in the Holy Ghost praying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, though, that one night I got to see, talking to God and speaking in psalms, hymns, spiritual song, praying in the Holy Ghost, so forth. And then I went over into the Spirit in a further way. And I saw this man, saw a demon trying to swallow him up. You remember that?
Yeah.
Under the anointing.
Yes.
Swallow him not up. You have not. Yep. See, I wasn't doing that. Out of my head. We had been praying for weeks and gotten nothing.
Yeah.
Why? because this needed something beyond what we were praying.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, Pastor, what was that? It was discerning of spirits, number one, and special faith. Remember? And then as a result of that, then the vision disappeared. And I saw the demon let him go and so forth. The vision disappeared. I saw a friend of mine, another minister that was praying for him. We all knew what was going on. I don't know, a week or two later. And, you know, I asked him, I said, hey, have you been praying? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, but I haven't gotten very far. I said, I got it. I said, I got it. Oh, I don't know, he said. No, I said, I got it. See, when you got special faith, you can come out of the time of prayer like, it's done, I got it.
Yeah.
And nothing in the natural has changed yet, but you got it.
Yes. Yeah.
He said, oh, I don't know. Now, I don't blame him for not being sure, because he wasn't the one that had the manifestation. I was the one that had the manifestation. If he had the manifestation, he could have said something that I would have said, I don't know.
Right.
But see, now, I had the manifestation. I said, no, I'd say to you right now, it's done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. But it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It was done. He turned.
Yeah.
He got right with God. Got with some ministers, got restored, repented, said, Lord, forgive me. Got some people to help restore him and talk to him and work him through that situation and everything. And he's back in the ministry today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have to learn this.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've been praying and I haven't gotten any results. You're going to have to go further in the Spirit.
Yeah.
I said we're going to have to go further in the Spirit.
Come on.
There's more to this than just tongues.
Yes.
Now, let's finish up with one more story. Over in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul was on a ship that was doomed. I mean, remember, he said to them before they left, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and danger. They said, well, we got to get to a certain place. And they gave all those reasons. Remember, we've gone through those reasons why people override the inner witness. Paul had the inner witness. And so they made all their excuses. Paul's a Roman he's a Roman prisoner. He's tied and chained to a Roman soldier. He can't say, well, I perceive this is going to be bad, so I'm not going. He had to go because he's a prisoner. So here they are. They take off, and sure enough, the storm rose. You remember that? And all hope that they should be saved was lost. Remember the whole story? And then the Bible said they were throwing things overboard. I mean, this is cargo. This is money. They're throwing things overboard to try to save the ship. And then the Bible says in verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort therefore, be of good cheer, for there shall not be loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, I have given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, Paul wrote about the authority of the believer. Doesn't Paul know about the authority of the believer? The Bible says this was, how many days was it here? I think it was 2 weeks. 14 days in this storm.
Yeah.
14 days. Paul, don't you know your authority? Jesus had authority. He used authority. He spoke to the wind and the waves. He said, peace be still. Paul, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You wrote about the authority of the believer. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with him.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's in a situation where the authority of the believer won't work.
Right. Right.
Because of others' decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to put everything in one sack and say the answer's the same in every situation. It's not, folks. It's not, folks. It's not, folks. It's not, it's not, it's not the same answer in every situation. Well, if Jesus was there, he'd have just rebuked that storm. Oh, really? He'd have said something different. The Spirit of God would have said something different to Jesus than he said to Paul? No. Well, he would have just rebuked it. Jesus would have. Oh, really? You know that for sure. I heard him say, I just do what I see my Father do. I just say what I hear my Father say. And Paul didn't see the Father saying, just rebuke it. Paul said, he says, get away and pray. After long abstinence. In other words, he got away and prayed and fasted. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Didn't turn because he stood up and said, "Peace, be still."
Right.
In fact, the storm never stopped until they crashed.
Yeah.
It sure did.
Yeah.
Can't put everything in one sack and say it all's supposed to be a certain way.
Yes.
People are rebuking in the flesh and nothing's happening.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But the bigger problem than that is they keep on doing it and
right.
wondering why it's not changing.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're doing it in the flesh, the Bible says in John 6:63, the flesh profiteth nothing. John 6:63. I'm going to just finish this out. I know it's. I have a goal to pray or to only teach an hour, but I'm just going to finish this out. John 6:63. We got to keep saying it because people need to hear it.
Yeah.
People meaning me too.
Come on.
He said, "The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." You can do things without the anointing just out of your mind because you remember what the Bible said and it have no anointing on it.
Yeah. Come
on with
it. Come on.
And nothing's happening. Now, in certain situations, your authority will work every time, like in your own personal life. But I'm talking about some of these other things. Some of these other things. Amen. When it comes to growing a church in a town that a lot of people don't really care. Oh, Pastor, I see what you're saying. It's going to take travail for certain people to get in this church. You can talk to people all day long and they're not interested.
No. Yep. No. So true.
Until you travail and get birthed in the spirit.
Come on.
Oh,
that's so good.
Oh, folks, we got to learn about this.
Yes, sir.
I said, we got to learn about this. That's part of what I mean by we won't have to push it through. It'll almost push us through. We can pray this way and this thing will gain such momentum in the spirit. I'm talking about the Spirit of Faith Family Church. Gain such momentum in the development of this ministry and the reaching of this city. Gain such momentum in this city that is pushing us. We're not pushing to get the next building. The crowds are pushing us. Are you hearing what the Spirit's saying?
Yes.
This is the reason the lack of this kind of thing happening. I'll go to my grave saying it. Confessions of faith won't cut it. Didn't say stop confessions of faith. I'm saying that's not enough. That's part of it, but that's not enough. Tell your neighbor, word of faith people need to hear it. And we're word of faith people. Why didn't Paul stop that storm on that first day? Well, he just wasn't all together. Okay, the second day. Yeah, he's kind of dull. He needed some sleep. Okay, the third day. The fourth, fifth, up to the 14th day. What's wrong with you, Paul? He never did do that. Read the whole story. He never did. Isn't authority right? Yeah. But you're going to have to do it under the anointing in certain circumstances. And this is in a situation where he tried to get them not to go, but they overrode what the Spirit said. You can't override what the Spirit says and get the best God has for you.
Yeah.
The best is stand up and rebuke it.
Come on.
But they already lost that. They lost God's best by saying, no, we're going anyhow. Are you hearing what the Spirit's saying? So, under the anointing of the Spirit, Paul prayed this thing out. In other words, he had to go about it a different way. Thank God we got more than one tools in our Holy Ghost toolbox. But the question is, are we pulling this one out? That's the question. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he could do all the rebuking he wanted to in the flesh and nothing would happen. If you ask 100 people what Jesus would have done if he'd have been there instead of Paul, most would have said he'd have stood up and rebuked the storm. I don't believe so. Because the Holy Ghost would have said the same thing to him as he said to Paul. He's not twins and he's not saying different things to different. He's saying the same thing to Paul as he would have said to Jesus. Are you there? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm just getting so much help out of this. If you got ears to hear, you're hearing what the Spirit's saying. Now, so let's just wrap some things up here. Jesus himself said, without me, of my own self, I can do nothing. Isn't that right? Regarding Paul and that ship, they didn't listen to him. And they didn't have, Paul didn't have all the authority to stop and say, we're not going. He couldn't say, we're not going. Shut that engine down. Pull that sail down. He couldn't do that. It wasn't his boat. It wasn't his cargo. He's a prisoner. So he tried to tell them, but see, they don't care what God's saying. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Preachers can stand up and try to tell people things, but they don't always pay attention to what God's saying. Well, to get out of it, they just make their confessions of faith. Nuh-uh. No. We got to start hearing this. No. That won't always work. I said, no, that won't always work. Well, just bind the devil. No, that won't always work. Amen. Amen. It'll work when it's supposed to work, but it won't work in every situation. Amen. They lost that blessing of God's best whenever they disobeyed what Paul said. Woo! You can feel the weight in here tonight. Amen. You can't just keep ignoring what the Spirit says and then bore your way on through in your own plans and it not affect you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But what did he do? He went to this kind of praying and he prayed it out. And an angel showed up. I'm sure when that angel showed up, Paul went, shoo, finally. I've had a stomach churning around for 14 and however more days on top of that after how long he prayed. Anybody? Notice it said, after many days. Anybody ever been there? This thing goes on and on and on and on and on. Amen. The angel showed up and said, fear not, Paul. God's given you all these. Why? He had been asking for all these men's lives. This is a different kind of prayer. This isn't a prayer of faith. He's interceding for them. They're going to hell by way of the bottom of the ocean. You know what I'm talking about? They're going to hell. So, praise God. And so, he made a connection with the Spirit of God, hooked up with the Holy Ghost, prayed this thing out. And he prayed it through, and an angel showed up. Are you there? I'm so glad that you can pray things through. God gave him a word. Said, don't be afraid, Paul. You got to stand before Caesar. And God's given you all them that sail with you. Isn't that right? So, after many days, I want to finish by that. Have you been there in many days? It just goes on and on and on. Well, you're in good company if you've ever been there. In fact, you're having a Bible experience. Paul, amen, after many days, finally you said, I'm going to seek God about this thing. I've been making my confessions and the hooga-mooga keeps hurting more. And you start praying in the Holy Ghost. There's something else I need to understand here, Lord. How many of you know Hezekiah didn't just make a confession of faith and pray? And no, he turned his face to the wall and started talking things over with God and repented of what God dealt with him about. Made some adjustments and started working this thing through. Turned the thing. But it wasn't a prayer of faith. You tell your neighbor, we're starting to get it now. It's starting to come through a little bit. See, we've been in a rut. I said, Word of Faith people have been in a rut. Thinking this is the only thing. This is not the only thing. Faith is not the only thing. Making confessions are right. Faith is right. We preach it all the time. But there's more. There's yielding our tongue in prayer to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many of you believe things can change? Like with Peter in prison, things can start turning. We make a supply of the Spirit available and things start turning. Then after he heard from God, do you notice what he said after he heard from God? There stood by me this night the angel of God, and this is what he said, "Fear not, thou shalt be brought before Caesar. Lo, God's given them all them to say with me. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God." Now he's making his confession of faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So you got to get these things in the right order. And realize that some things you just try to faith it through without praying it through. And it won't work. But if an angel shows up and gives you a word, then you're like, whoa. But still you got to follow the unction of the Holy Ghost. You can have that angel appear.
Right now.
Come on now.
In fact, Elijah got a word, there's not going to be any rain. But he didn't just sit back and stop praying. He kept on praying. He stuck with it. I think there's some things we're going to have to learn. How many of you can see there's some things we're going to have to learn? We're going to have to learn the move of the Spirit. We're going to have to learn the move of the Spirit in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what these are all about. That's what these prayer meetings are all about. We're going to learn it in precept and by experience. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you glad you came tonight?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise God for the word. So we're word of faith people. So I'm including myself in this. When the Lord started talking to me about this, he included me. When he woke me up Wednesday morning at 7:30, I was up pretty late that night before because of some things. But and then he woke me up at 7:30 in the morning. And first thing he said to me rattled me. And he included me in it. So I'm not just preaching this at you. I'm making some adjustments.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.